Elisha ben Avuya Acher, in which his Talmud Rabbi Meir continued to study with him, etc., but also kept the distance, but he continued the relationship. Here we have an excommunication that was supposed to work both literally and figuratively. And in the Middle Ages, it was a terrible punishment, excommunication, because you couldn't get married and you couldn't get buried. You had to be within a community. And excommunication from the Jewish community, so he couldn't go to the non-Jewish community. He had nowhere to be. So he wandered for a long period of time, 6 or 7 years, from town to town in Europe. It naturally embittered him. And what finally happened was that he cracked. He came back to Amsterdam and he said, okay, you guys win. I'll be a good boy. I recant everything. And they took off the ban of excommunication. It's not that he was insincere, but it's a strange thing. Here was a man who was a Christian because he was forced to be a Christian, now coming and saying that he's going to be a good Jew because he's forced to say that he's going to be a good Jew. And they were willing to accept him on the basis of that statement. They were willing to say, well, if you're forced to be a Christian, so then you really don't mean it. But if you're forced to be a Jew, that's all right. That illogical inconsistency is also common for the Middle Ages. It's common today also. It's, you know, that everybody else gets into trouble. I don't. Problems happen to somebody else. They don't happen to me. The Jews thought that way also. You know, we could understand his being forced to be a Catholic, so he wouldn't be a good Catholic. But if you force him to be a Jew, he's going to somehow be a good Jew. His being a good Jew lasted about 6 months. And then he started again speaking, writing. And he wrote another pamphlet, again, a very negative pamphlet about Judaism. And that happened, they put him in Cherem again. They excommunicated him again. But the second time they put you in, it's with more curses. And Jews are very good at curses. Original. And by now he was probably mentally unbalanced. But his cause was taken up by... there always are people who take up the cause of persecuted people, even if the persecuted people deserve to be persecuted. Our rabbis tell us the famous Maimer Chazal, based on the verse in the book of Koheles, in the book of Ecclesiastes. So King Solomon says, Elokim Yavakesh Nirdof. God is on the side of the one who is being persecuted. That the Talmud says, not only is God on the side of the one who is being persecuted, if the one who is being persecuted is innocent and the persecutor is guilty, so then God certainly is on the side of the one who is being persecuted. But afilu tzadik rodef rosho, even if the one who is doing the persecuting is the right one, is correct, and the one who is being persecuted is a Russia, is the evil one. Elokim Yavakesh Nirdof. God is on the side of the person being persecuted. By that, the rabbis meant to show us, I don't know, we call it perhaps the underdog syndrome, but God, Kaviyochel, also subscribes to the underdog syndrome. He wants them to win. He doesn't want the establishment to crush people under. And that's what happened to Acosta, that even though he was mentally unbalanced and even though everything that he wrote was so wrong, but he attracted a following in the Jewish community, especially in the Jewish community of Amsterdam. Who was the following? The following was everyone that had a grievance against the establishment.